All right, I will say good evening. So we're starting tonight our Hilchos Shabbos Chaburah. So I'll tell you, in preparing for this shiur, so I'm not 100% sure yet exactly what format I want to follow. So I'll tell you, I prepared about four different shiurim for tonight, the last of which you have in front of you. Because when I first kind of thought about this idea, my thought was really to go through the Lamatas Malachos. Like to just go through each of the Lamatas Malachos one by one, give a little bit of background and explanation and halacha lemaisa. So we might still do that and really just start from the beginning. Start from Choresh, from plowing, and just work our way forward like that. Then I thought to myself, maybe we should just do like contemporary cases, like take a question, kind of dissect the question, and through that be able to also learn Hilchos Shabbos. So first of all, I'm very much open to feedback. You know, so if anyone has a strong opinion on this, literally, this is my fourth shiur for our 40-minute shiur. So the first three that I prepared were on Malachos, right? Actual Charisha, Zuria. This one is again a little bit more, you'll see question based. So, Hosei, so please, you know, we're starting this Chabura. My hope is that in Meretz Hashem, you know, I'm very excited because I haven't given a Kavua, you know, a set halachashir in a while. So I'm very excited about this, but I want it to be something obviously that the Chevra enjoys. So please, you know, by all means, after the shiur, you could email me, text me, let me know kind of if you have a particular desire. So what I want to focus on today.
Start the day with coffee.
Exactly. So I'll tell you like this. So here's something so incredible. So then I'm thinking to myself, okay, what does a Jew always say? What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want me to do? So I thought to myself, I got the same Shaila four times last week. Now, that happens sometimes. It doesn't happen often. And here was the Shaila. Can I set my coffee maker on a timer for Shabbos morning? Right, so here is the fundamental issue for those of us who do consume coffee and good amounts of coffee. So the issue on Shabbos morning of having to drink instant or even just cold coffees just doesn't, you don't get the same kick. So a simple Shaila, can I go ahead and set my coffee maker? I'm setting everything up before Shabbos. I'm going to put in the water. I'm going to put in the coffee, right? The grounds, right? The grounds, and it's all going to be set up. And again, whatever the timer is. So, you know, if you're a little bit of an old schooler and you have an old coffee maker, you could put it on the Shabbos clock. I'm pretty sure any coffee maker that you're buying today is programmable. You program it. So the Shaila is, can you go ahead and do this on Shabbos? So before I take you through this, tell me what you think the potential issues are.
Cooking.
So cooking, bishul, right? Obviously, what's the cooking issue?
Water,
right? And also the potential, by the way, where else could there be bishul in this kind of situation? By the coffee grounds. Because remember, again, how are coffee grounds prepared? More often than not, they're roasted. So we're going to get, again, depending on what format we use for the shiur, but we're going to discuss the interesting topic, which is that generally we say in bishul achar bishul, which is that once something is cooked, it's generally not subject to cooking again. But for example, there could be yesh bishul achar tzli. If something is roasted, it could be subject to bishul. Bishul means a specific situation of cooking with a liquid medium, cooking with water. So I could have bishul of the water. I could have bishul ultimately of the grounds. What else could be the potential issues? It's a good shaila, no?
Yeah. There's a safety issue about turning it off.
You would leave it on, and I think a lot of the new ones anyway have like an automatic off after a certain amount of time.
Moving it, putting it back.
Oh, so that could be interesting depending on the nature of your coffee machine, taking it off the heating element, putting it back on. Good. What else? Interesting borer with the strainer. Remember again, how do you make coffee? Water goes in to the water goes in over the grounds, goes through what do you call that thing?
Filter.
Thank you. Right, it comes out through the filter. That could be borer. Good. What else?
Tzoveya.
I'm sorry. Tzoveya. So interesting. So Nechemiah is bringing up tzoveya. One of the lamatas malachos is dying. So you're suggesting changing the color of the water. So again, that one is very interesting because we know how do we paskin. Generally, we'll come across it in our journeys. We paskin ein tzviya ba'ochlim. That in general, the prohibition of dying doesn't apply to food. Good. What else? Any other suggestions? Well, so you're missing one of the most obvious ones. You're allowed to set your television on a timer. I know this is a question, right? Everything always depends, right? So I'll tell you something interesting, which is in general there is a discussion about the use of electrical appliances on a timer. So here's where let's start with that. So we'll say specifically, if we kind of boil that down a little bit, what it really comes down to is, what is the halacha regarding creating a situation where melacha is going to occur on Shabbos? So I do something before Shabbos, which is totally permitted, but the result of that is going to occur on Shabbos itself. So is that problematic? So if we take a look at number one.
The same thing with a timer, with a light going on there?
So it could be the same issue with the timer also. Correct. That is correct. In general, what is the halacha? If you do something before Shabbos, you start a process before Shabbos, but ultimately it's going to culminate on Shabbos itself. So take a look at number one. So the Shulchan Aruch here quotes in Siman Reish Nun Beis the following. This is actually quite interesting. Umutar liftach mayim legina, v'im nimshachim v'holchim b'chala Shabbos. So let's say I want to irrigate my field. I have a big field, Baruch Hashem. It takes a while to irrigate the field. So what do I want to do? I want to go ahead and open up the water. There's probably a more technical term for that. The spigot, right? The hose, the irrigation. I want to open it up on Erev Shabbos, and I want it to irrigate the field over the course of Shabbos. So the Shulchan Aruch says, that's permitted to do that. What's his logic? Why is it permitted? Because at the end of the day, I'm not doing anything asur on Shabbos. The truth is, let's read on. He says, furthermore, ulahaniach kilor sam shel refush nosan al ayin ava al ayin ava pish asal nicho b'shabbos. One is not permitted to apply like a salve, an ointment to their eye on Shabbos. This is assuming non-sakonas nefashos, non-life-threatening situation. So I'm allowed to put the salve on my eye erev Shabbos, even though what happens? It sits on my eye on Shabbos and provides me with refuah. Whereas in general, one is not permitted to go ahead and engage in refuah, in forms of medicinal healing on Shabbos. Why not? There's a gzera of schigas samamonim, the way they used to prepare medicines, which is the way they still prepare medicines. Our pharmacist this year, right, is by grinding up. You still have a mortar and pestle, right? Good. So people think that these halachas, right? Remember, grinding on Shabbos is the malacha of tochein. Therefore, you can't engage in most forms of medicinal healing on Shabbos. Again, I'm not talking about sakana. I'm not talking about a person has a chronic condition. Just stam. However, what can I do? I can go ahead and put the eye salve on my eye on Erev Shabbos, even though what? I will be benefiting from the refuah on Shabbos itself. So skip a little bit. He goes on, v'tonen b'koras beis habad. This is an interesting case. I have an olive press or a grape press. So what could I do? I have a great idea. It takes a while for the juice to drain out of the olives and out of the grapes. What's my great idea? When am I going to do it? Erev Shabbos. Do it Erev Shabbos. This way it's beautiful. It sits there all of Shabbos. Matzei Shabbos comes. Everything's pressed. Shulchan Aruch says it's all mutter. Right? Now, the logic behind all of these, ultimately, is he says, same way, it's permitted for me to work to start my mill on Erev Shabbos also. They're both saying, now, the backdrop to all of this is the concept that we paskin that there is no obligation of shvisas kelim on Shabbos, which means the halacha on Shabbos is, I can't do malacha, but my utensils can do malacha. So if I start a process on Erev Shabbos, it's okay if that process continues on through Shabbos. So as long as I turn on the irrigation hose before Shabbos, you can irrigate the field. I put the eye salve on, I can benefit from the refuah. I put the olives and the grapes in the press, they can continue to be pressed. I start the mill, as long as I start before Shabbos, it's not a problem. Now comes along the Rama, looking number one by the italics, Hagah. Now Moshe Isus comments on this, and he says, V'lo chai shinan l'hashmas kol. So the Rama says, by the way, there's another issue. We'll say, what's the other issue? Noise. We'll see what that issue is. We don't worry about noise, right? He says, Sheyomru rechaim shal ploni tonos b'shabbos. So for example, the best example of this would be, let's say with the mill. Let's say I have a mill that grinds up my grain. I start it before Shabbos. let's say it's water-powered for argument's sake. I start it before Shabbos, it's going to keep on turning over the course of Shabbos. But it makes noise. So the Rama says, you might have thought you can't do that on Shabbos, because halacha l'maaseh, if people hear that, right, somebody walks by my house on Shabbos, and what are they going to hear? Silber's mill is going on Shabbos? You thought the guy was a frum guy. Right, what's happening over here? So the Rama says, you don't have to worry about that. V'yesh omrim, v'yesh osrim berechayim, u'bechol makom shiyesh lachush lashmas kol, v'hachi nahog l'chatchila. The Rama says, but however, there is another issue. The Rama says, it's not true. When the activity makes noise, and therefore the Rama says, under those circumstances, l'chatchila, we would say that it's aser. So for argument's sake, in all of these, so therefore, what the Mechaber outlines a principle. The principle is that what? What's the principle? That if you start the malach on Erev Shabbos, then what? It could continue through Shabbos. Not a problem. The Rama now qualifies that halacha and says, as long as what? As long as what? It doesn't make noise. What's the issue with noise? Look at the Taz in number, what? How are we going to say? Say it. So according to the Rama, it sounds like the issue is Maris Ayin. That is, by the way, sounds interesting, right? That the problem with noise, right, which is an auditory thing, is Maris Ayin. So I'll say, but he's correct, meaning the Rama makes it sound like that the issue is somebody's going to walk by my house, they're going to hear the millstones grinding. And again, human nature, people are just going to assume that I'm doing malacha on Shabbos. So you can't do that. The Taz says something a little bit different. The Taz says, look at number two, V'lo chayshin ala hashmas, kol krav Yosef yish osrim poskim kiraba, dar afilo lebeisilo osr, af agav the less leishvies haskelim, mikol makom, here's the operative phrase, this last phrase in number two, osr mishum hashmas, kol v'ika zelusa l'shabbos. Remember this phrase, zelusa l'shabbos. Zelusa l'shabbos means it's a degradation for Shabbos, or of Shamilsa, right? Or ultimately, again, Josh, there should be sheet. Good. Right? Or of Shamilsa. Of Shamilsa ultimately means it's just not nice. It's degrading the Shabbos. So we'll say, now this is incredibly important. Let's go back for a second. Can you set your TV on a timer for Shabbos? Can you?
If it doesn't make noise.
Right? So here's what's interesting. So we'll say, on a technical level, the answer should be yes. Or I'll tell you even better, forget about timer. Why waste time with a timer? Just put it on. Right? Just put it on Erev. Shabbos, Hinani, Muchan, Mazuman, Akai, Misa, Sasei. Right? Shal Onik Shabbos. Everybody has different forms of Onik Shabbos. Right? I put it on. Not a problem. The Shulchan Aruch just told me, as long as you start the Malacha before Shabbos, it's okay. There's a problem, says the Taz, with things that create noise. Because if the item that you're using creates noise, it just takes away from the sanctity of Shabbos. And as I say, or otherwise stated, the sound of the grinding mill is a vachadika sound, right? It's a weekday sound. It's not a Shabbos sound. So the Taz comes along and says, it's true, you could start whatever you want before Shabbos, but not if it makes noise. If it makes noise, then you can't do it. So I will say, just by the way, as an aside, Rav Moshe says something incredible. First of all, before I go on, take a look, go back up to number one for just a moment. So the Rama says, Umutr Lahamid, look at the end of number one. Umutr Lahamid Klima Shkolo Shekorin Zeiger Me'erev Shabbos. Afa Pisha Mashmiya Kol Lahodia Shos B'Shabbos. Kia Kol Yodim Shedarka Lahamido Me'esmol. And we'll say, but what can you do? What's a Zeiger? It's a clock. Right? You can go ahead now. What he's really referring to over here is like one of those large grandfather clocks. Right? You could have that go off the shops, even though what? Even though it makes noise. Because what's the derech of that kind of clock? Right? Apparently, again, you wind it up the day before. So because you wind it up the day before, even though it makes noise, so you could use it. So now we'll say, so here's what we have. Let's follow the construct here. Step one. You are permitted to begin a malach on Erev Shabbos, even if it is going to continue into Shabbos. This is very important. So therefore, I could start my irrigation on Friday, even though, again, the irrigation is going to go on, ultimately, again, through Shabbos. Right? I could put my grapes, my olives in the press, even though, again, the juice is going to come out on Shabbos. Why? Simple idea. There is no obligation of Shvi'is Haskelim. I can't do... I'm sorry?
You start
showing. So the truth is, food is even... So, yes... But food, when we get to Bishul, food is even its own separate thing, right? But yes, it's the same general principle. My crockpot is permitted to work on Shabbos. It's my crockpot. It's a Yiddish crockpot, right? But the idea is because there's no obligation of resting for utensils, only for people. Comes the Ramah qualifies this. And what does he say? That's only if the Malacha what? Doesn't make noise. Because if it makes noise, says the Taz, Zelus of the Shabbos. That's the degradation of Shabbos. Hold on for one second. Comes Rav Moshe number three. That's what I'm telling you to hold on. Look at this. So this is incredible. By the way, nothing to do with coffee makers just yet. I'm setting you up a little bit. So by the way, but it does have to do with coffee makers. So if I were to ask you, based on what you just saw from the Shulchan Aruch and the Taz, can you set your coffee maker on Erev Shabbos to make coffee on Shabbos morning?
Yes.
You don't hear your coffee maker? Mamish, I'm going to have to get your coffee maker in front. Yeah, instead of coffee. So it's... I'm sorry?
I would think there's a big difference if you're using a timer, because it's not running continuously.
But even if it's not running continuously, the principle is the same. Why are you allowed to set something on a timer? What's the logic? Why are you set on a timer? Because there's no obligation for my utensils to rest, right? So whether it's on from before Shabbos or it's coming on Shabbos shouldn't seem to make all... It's the same logic, right? So it would seem, again, all kidding aside, let's assume for a moment the coffee maker is something that's low, right? Doesn't make a lot of noise. So it sounds like it shouldn't be a problem. Now, just a commercial break for just a moment. I found this by accident today, but I was blown away by it. So like, take a look at number three, Rav Moshe. So Rav Moshe writes, now, Vose, I should just tell you in general, Rav Moshe took a very strict approach towards Shabbos clocks, in general timers. Rav Moshe was not a fan of timers for anything other than lights, maybe air conditioning, basic needs. Rav Moshe felt that timers ultimately represented a possibility for a person essentially to run Shabbos just like a regular day of the week. So watch this. Look what he writes in number three. He says, Ha'amada shan ma'or b'erev Shabbos, she'itzaltzel b'Shabbos. Ira, this is your question. Can I set an alarm clock to go off on Shabbos morning? So look what he writes. Ule'inyan lahamid shon sheish bodavra metzaltzel lefnei Shabbos, alazman she'itzaltzel b'Shabbos b'boker, k'dei she'iru l'zman ha'tfilah. So of course, again, you gotta, right? Of course, why am I setting the alarm clock? I want to be early for davening, right? I need an alarm clock. Look what he writes. Hine, imhu kol kazeh shelo nishma ela bechedro, shuliatzmo, ein baze iser. Rav Moshe says, everything depends on the volume of your alarm clock. If halacha lemaisa, this is incredible. If halacha lemaisa, it's a low clock and it could only be heard in your room, then it's fine. Aval nishma gam chutz michedro shenishma lahar behalonim bebeso. If the alarm clock can be heard by other people in your house, the koshikain shenishma lachutz. Now that's an alarm clock, right? And if it can be heard outside of your house, aser mitzad gezeras hashma askol dinasinas chitim lesoch rechaim shamayim kishiyitchinu b'shabbes kedam rabba. So Rav Moshe says something absolutely amazing. So Rav Moshe says, are you allowed to set an alarm clock on Shabbos? So here's what's interesting. Remember, when am I setting it? I'm setting it before Shabbos. So again, there's no problem with setting a utensil to do malacha on Shabbos itself, because my utensil is not commanded to rest on Shabbos. Only I am commanded to rest on Shabbos. But if my utensil is going to make noise, says Rav Moshe, that you can't do. If it's a loud alarm clock that's going to be heard outside of my room, you can't set it. And Rav Moshe, I know what you're thinking. What are you thinking? Remember, what did Rama say? What can you set? The Zeiger, the clock. So Rav Moshe, I'm going to tell you a bit. This is incredible. Rav Moshe says, "Umasik tam l'mashem mutu l'hamid kli mashkosh karan zeiger shom b'erev Shabbos." Ava b'shemashel. Rav Moshe, what did Rama said? You can set the grandfather clock before Shabbos, even though what? It's going to make noise. Listen to this. Ki akol yodin shedarkan l'hamido me'esmo. Hari af shuhu kol anase bebayis ve'ino gadol kol kach dekori chayim b'Shabbos. Nami haya osur im lava tam. Because everyone knows, when do you set the clock? You set it once every 24 hours. So therefore, when somebody hears it go off, it's very feasible that a person went ahead and set this the day before. But watch this. This is incredible. I will say, when do people set their alarm clocks? When they said at night. At night. So Rav Moshe actually says something amazing. Rav Moshe paskins that ultimately, again, if therefore he gets Hare Nishma Lochutz or Afa Bayit Bishar Chadar, so Rav Moshe therefore paskins that Halacha L'Maaseh, an alarm clock, can only be used on Shabbos if Halacha L'Maaseh, the volume is low enough that it could only be heard inside the bedroom itself. But if it is so loud that it can be heard outside of the bedroom, then Halacha L'Maaseh, Rav Moshe would say that falls under the category of the mill, which even though technically speaking can be run on Shabbos, Avshamilsa, Zelusa de Shabbos, it's degrading for Shabbos. Now the truth is, one could probably make the cogent argument that today we do have Shabbos alarm clocks, right? So meaning it could very well be that just the Metzias has changed. Rav Moshe didn't have Shabbos alarm clocks, you know? So, but again, I'm just pointing out, this is not a Sharon alarm clocks, but I'm just pointing out over here that you see this constant, it's very important, that halacha lemaisa, that even technically speaking, I could have malacha being done by my utensils on Shabbos. As long as I started before Shabbos, it could continue on Shabbos. The only caveat is it has to be silent. So I will say, so I'll tell you something interesting. I remember years ago, you know, when people were asking about running a dishwasher on Shabbos. I want to put my dishwasher on a timer. So I will say, so it used to be dishwashers were very loud. Now the truth is, if you buy new appliances, they run on these quiet modes. You could barely hear it. So it could very well be that me'ikar adin, there may be this ability to do it. Now I will tell you, I think the caveat to these kinds of things are, you have to be very careful that Shabbos doesn't end up looking like Sunday or like a Tuesday. There is this general concern. You know, if the kitchen, can you imagine this, right? The coffee's brewing, the dishwasher's running, everything is fantastic, right? Your wife is going to be very relaxed. It's going to be fantastic, right? They're well caffeinated. But Lamaisa, it looks just like a regular day. There's a problem with that. There's a problem that degrades and erodes the spirit of Shabbos. But again, let's get back to coffee. So far, the first issue we could see with setting your timer before Shabbos would be an issue ultimately, again, of having your kli, having your utensil do malacha. So the truth is, we've already established, not a problem, right? So the only shaila is a coffee maker considered to be something that falls into the category of an alarm clock, right? Or an olive press. Olive press being something that's very silent. Alarm clock, according to Rav Moshe, being something that can be very loud. So that would be the general shaila. So we'll say, so interestingly enough, so it appears, based on Rav Moshe, that the metric for determining decibel level is, could it be heard from a different room? So it would seem to be, if the issue was one of noise, then it's a very simple shaila. Do you hear your coffee maker from the next room? If you hear your coffee maker from the next room, then halacha lemaisa, you would not be permitted to brew coffee on Shabbos. If, however, you have a silent mode coffee maker, then ein achinami, you'd be permitted to do so. A second issue. Take a look at number four. A second issue that we'll say has to do with the halachas of Bishul. Yes.
Quick question. Is Hashmal's Kol and Zelusa de Shabbos interchangeable terms? I mean, is the issue of Zelusa because of Hashmal's Kol? Or do we say that there's a separate issue of Zelusa de Shabbos? Like, for most issues with timers in general, like, this is what the
Chol right. Wanted. So I would frame it like this. Hashmal's Kol is always a din of Zelusa de Shabbos. But there are other cases of Zelusa de Shabbos besides Hashmal's Kol.
So could the coffee, would that possibly fit into the Zelusa, even if there's no Kol?
What would be the Zelusa?
The same issue that Rav Moshe had.
Okay, so remember, this whole discussion never gets off the ground with Rav Moshe. Let's be clear on that, right? Rav Moshe would say, of course you can't make coffee on Shabbos. You can't start setting appliances on timers on Shabbos. That's Rav Moshe. We're presupposing that we are not adopting the more restrictive stance of Rav Moshe at times, because we don't. Because the truth is, we use timers for all kinds of stuff, right? We use timers for crock pots. We use timers for hot plates. You don't have to. Let your crock pot run the whole time. Let but your hot plates run the whole time. So the fact that many of us do that, I include myself in that, right, is because in general, like Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa does not, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach does not adopt that restrictive. So, correct. So, according, this is a very important, Rav Moshe bring up a very important point, which is, if you would take Rav Moshe, which we haven't really studied Rav Moshe, only by the alarm clock, but if you were to take Rav Moshe's limiting approach in general with timers, the coffee shiloh doesn't get off the ground.
But the television shiloh would also not get off, I mean, you could just leave it, you don't have to watch a Ravens game with sound. Right?
Correct.
So it would be the same issue.
100%. 100%. So there would be a Zelusa de Shabsa, right, even without Hashmas call. So correct. So every time there's Hashmas call, there is Zelusa de Shabsa, but not every Zelusa de Shabsa is Hashmas call.
Should we disconnect our telephones as well as a result of the noise?
So I think that kind of borders on sakana. I think because there are circumstances where halacha lemaisa, one would be permitted to use a telephone on Shabbos, that halacha lemaisa, you could keep it plugged in. Now, what I would tell you is, you should definitely shut your cell phone before Shabbos. You know, anyone who ever left their cell phone on over Shabbos,
that'd be more beneficial. It's like, just do instant message.
Oh, so, you mean in the case of emergency? Yeah. All right, I'm presupposing that people still call house phones in the case of emergency. Yeah, so assuming that people, I would still think the cell phone is definitely much more of a distraction because there's going to be much more stuff that comes on there. Presumably, the house phone, especially if you have caller ID, you know what's going on. I think to leave yourself without communication is sakana. It's sakana. But I think, again, turning off the cell phone would seem, you know, no one wants the cell phone buzzing the entire Shabbos, vibrating with every text, email, this, that. That would be the elusive the Shabbos. Yes?
Isn't, Rob just said that the Hashmos call is the Lusa. Isn't it more of Marzayin?
So,
because
and
that's from the lesson of the Ramah.
So the Taz says, the Chiddush of the Taz is even if there's no Marzayin. There's no Marzayin. Right, let's say I take away Marzayin. I hang a big sign in front of my house, right? Irrigation started, you know, 2:30 p.m. Friday afternoon, right? The mill started. So the Taz is saying, even when there is no Maris Ayin, there's still an issue of Hashmas called Zelusa de Shabsa. I think that's the Chiddush of the Taz. Second potential issue is a Hilchos Bishul issue. Take a look at number 4. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, again, we're going to do this a little bit quickly, but again, I was actually going to tell you this outside. So there is, so remember again, Bishul is one of the lamates malachos, right? One of the 39 permitted categories of labor. So, halacha lemaisa, if you want to use a fire source on Shabbos, let's say to keep your food hot, or for that matter, again, I begin cooking something on Erev Shabbos, it reached a certain threshold at the start of Shabbos, I can maintain it on a fire on Shabbos. As long as that fire is either what we call garuf or katum. So garuf or katum means one of two things. Garuf literally means the coals are removed, which means you could continue to use an oven to heat your food as long as the heat source is gone. Or katum means spreading a layer of ash over the coals. Either way, what are you doing? You are fundamentally changing and altering the heat source. So we'll say, what's the concern? The concern is if I maintain food on an open flame going into Shabbos, what's my concern? Shema yichata. The concern is that I'm going to adjust the flame in order to either hasten the cooking process or to do something to expedite the process. So Chazal felt, as long as you make some type of shinui, some type of dramatic change to the heat source, then halacha lemaisa, you can maintain food on the fire. So therefore, either remove the coals or ultimately, again, put a layer of ash. Both say, what's our contemporary application of grufa and ketuma? Blech. Blech. So that's what a blech is. I put a blech over the fire that fundamentally changes the heat source. Interesting, machlokes in Moshe Feinstein and of Aaron Kotler about whether or not you have to cover the knobs. Right? Moshe felt you don't have to cover the knobs. Rav Aaron Kotler felt you had to cover the knobs. By the way, I'll tell you a little secret. Rav Aaron Kotler l'shitaso is you only have to cover the knobs. You don't even have to cover the fire. And we'll say it's actually very intuitive. Why? Because we'll say on a stove, the only, right? We'll say, don't try like adding a bit more fuel to your burner, right? Not a good idea, right? The only way to adjust that flame is the knob. So the truth is, if you cover the knobs, you obviate any potential possibility of adjusting the flame. But again, for our purposes, I think common practice is at least you cover the flame. You put a blech on there, shemichat. So another potential issue, ultimately, again, of the coffee maker is what? is Bishul. Why Bishul? Or not as much Bishul, but not necessarily biblical Bishul, but I have a problem because Rabbi said there is an uncovered heat source. Remember again that there's two heating mechanisms in a coffee maker, right? There's the coil inside by the water, which heats up the water, and then generally there's another heating mechanism underneath the pot. Right, so we'll say both of those are considered, are uncovered heat sources. You can't use uncovered heat sources on Shabbos. So halach lamaisa would appear that even if you take away the issue of shvisas kelim, and even if you have super quiet coffee maker, you still have the issue that the coffee maker is a quote unquote uncovered flame. If that's the case, then halach lamaisa, setting it on a timer on Erev Shabbos should be aser. I want to share with you something amazing. And by the way, that's how Rav Yashiv paskins, that's how the Tzitz Eliezer paskins, most poskim paskin that way. Rabbi Heinemann Shlita has a wild tshuva. I don't mean wild, I mean like it's just incredible. Take a look at number 5. So this actually was written by Rabbi Mordechai Frankel at the Star K. See, right over here, first paragraph. Nishalti kama pamim ha'im mutar l'sader be'erev Shabbos machsher la'asiyas kafe. Coffee maker, she'yifol b'Shabbos ha'yishon Shabbos, v'aynu emutar ha'im mutar kodem ha'Shabbos litin l'soch ha'machsher garinei kafe u'mayim karim, u'b'Shabbos baboker yifol ha'machsher me'elov ayid yashon Shabbos l'vashalayim k'dei lasos kos kafe. Fine, so we'll say, so interestingly enough, what doesn't Rav Heinemann deal with? Fascinating. He doesn't deal with issue number one, which is Hashma's call. Doesn't deal with that. And I guess he's not dealing with it. Why? It's quiet. Remember, if you use Rav Moshe's metric, how loud does something have to be in order for it to be Hashma's call? Heard in a different room. So let's assume, I'm guessing that he's presupposing that even though I think I hear my coffee, maybe I'm just very eager to drink coffee, right? But I hear the coffee, right? But whatever it is, okay. I'm sorry? Part of the experience is hearing it. Okay, I guess, so we're presupposing that that's not an issue. What about the Bishul issue? Let's look at the second paragraph. He says, V'hini medivrei achazon ishmashma, shemutra lito ma'achol me'erev Shabbos agabe tanar garofakatam. So we'll say, close to Chazon Ish and others. The Chazon Ish actually, I didn't put it on your sheet, but it's actually a fascinating Chazon Ish. I give you the Mara Makom. It's Hilchos Shabbos, Simin Lamed Zayin Sif Beis. What the Chazon Ish actually is dealing with over here is, If I have, let's say, a stove, or this applies to a hot plate also, that is on a timer, and I want to go ahead and put the food directly on it while it's off, and then it'll go on. The Chazon Ish says that's aser. You're not allowed to do that. The halachas of grufa and ketuma, right, that the heat source must be covered, apply whether the food is on an active heat source or the food is on a heat source that is currently off. Either way, you can't do that. So he quotes over here the Chazon Ish. So based on the Chazon Ish, again, based, and it's not just the Chazon Ish, it's the Chazon Ish, it's Rav Yashiv and many others who would say that, again, the coffee maker is considered, we'll say, now the truth is, the one part I'm not doing total justice to is the general status of like hot plates and things like that. We'll have to deal with that in a different shir. But halacha lemaisa, the assumption would be that the coffee maker would be an uncovered flame, right? A flame that is not garofakatum. If that's the case, then halacha lemaisa should be aser. Skip down a little bit. Skip to the last paragraph just because of time. Aval das hagon Rav Yosef Shalom al Yashuv, delo plug chachamim ba'ar atzmo, bein efshar lachtos li'efshar lachtos. So you'll look at this on your own. But in this particular tshuva, so the shaila is, what do you do about non-adjustable heat sources? Let's take a step back for just a moment, right? Here's what we know. I know that if I want to use my stove on Shabbos, what do I have to do? Right? But mechanistically, what do I have to do? I have to remove the ability to what? To adjust the heat source, right? Or at least, even if I have to actively remove it, I have to create enough of a reminder that I'm not going to... But it's called halachically, I have to remove the ability to adjust the heat source. What happens if I have an unadjustable heat source? I have an unadjustable heat source, right? So again, an unadjustable hot plate would be an excellent... It's on or it's off, right? If you buy these, especially the Eretz Yisrael platas, it's on or it's off. There's no multiple settings. Rav Yashiv, the Tzitz Eliezer, the Chazon Ish, all paskin, it doesn't make a difference. Adjustable or not adjustable makes no difference. If you're dealing with a primary heat source, The only way to use it is with some type of blech mechanism. So for example, according to all these opinions, and Shmir Shabbos Kilchus applies it as well, a hot plate, even if you have a hot plate that's on and off, so it's not adjustable, you still need a blech, a type of blech, when using that. Now, that blech could be an overturned cookie sheet, right? Or an overturned tin. But you can't put food on Shabbos directly on that hot plate. It's not adjustable. So essentially, it appears that Rav Elyashiv and the Tzitz Eliezer and the Chazon Ish take this approach of low plug. Low plug means we don't distinguish. Chazal said that the only way to use a heat source on Shabbos is how? Right? Karof HaKatum. Blech. You gotta have a blech. That's it. Just one. You know, say, so you understand, there is a little bit of a jump in that, right? The jump in that is, well, 1 second. The whole issue of a blech is, I don't want to come to adjust the heat source. But yet they're saying is, once Chazal made the takana, there's no distinction between adjustable and non-adjustable heat sources. If you want to use a heat source, it requires a blech. Watch this. Continue the last paragraph. Skip down to Lefize. I'm now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom of the tshuva. In the middle of the line. Lefize. Aser liyishtamish memakshir lasos kafe ayideh shon Shabbos. So remember, according to all of these opinions, can you set your coffee maker on a timer on Shabbos? No. Right? Why? The coffee maker effectively is what? Is an uncovered flame. It's an uncovered flame. There's no shinui in the heating element, right? The heating element is the same as it is during the week. There's no hecker. There's no recognizable reminder not to do anything with this heat source. So therefore, they will all paskin that it's aser. However, look what he writes. Amnam yesh shetzedu lahakel baze shini efshar l'shanas achom dino kigaraf akatum. I am Bishalas Tshuvas Har Tzvi, Shevet HaLevi, Shmir Shabbos Kilchasai, quotes, Rishon Zalman records a couple of different opinions. So he says, but however, there are others who argue. And they will say, no, the din of a blech is only in what, Rabosai? Is only in what? Is only in an adjustable heat source. But if something is not adjustable, then there's no need for any type of blech reminder. So we'll see, you have a yesodistic machlokes. So by the way, this machlokes has many ramifications, right? We're talking about coffee right now, but this the simple ramification, as we'll say, is taking cold, solid, fully cooked food or fully cooked solids and reheating them on Shabbos day. How do I reheat it? So I'm going to use my hot plate. So it depends. If you hold that even an unadjustable hot plate is considered like an open flame, then what do you need? You need a hecker. You need a blech. You need to overturn something, right? But if you hold that, no. The gzera of shem yichata, that lest you come to adjust the flame, only applies to adjustable heat sources, I could put that food right back on the blech. And I both say that is a machlokas. So again, same idea. If halacha lamaisa again, if you hold that, so a coffee maker, I both say, is an unadjustable heat source. Right, you can't adjust it. So because you can't adjust it, therefore what? Therefore, halacha lemaisa, some will say that it requires a blech. You can't really put a blech there, at least on one of the heat sources. And therefore, halacha lemaisa, you can't make it on Shabbos. On the flip side, right, on the flip side, if you hold that an unadjustable heat source does not require any type of blech, then what's the halacha? Coffee should be permitted. Therefore says Rabbi Heinemann, Va'al Pizet, this is incredible, Das, Rabbi Moshe Heinemann Shlita, Lahatir Me'ikir Hadin Machshir La'asiyas Cafe Al Yidei Sha'on Shabbos. Rabbi Heinemann Paskins, that you are permitted to set your coffee maker on a Shabbos clock on Erev Shabbos, She'i'ef Shekol She'ef Shalashana Sachom Nikra Gara Fakatum. As long as you're dealing with the situation of an unadjustable heat source, it's considered to be garuf and katum, and therefore there is no problem. Gidas hapana meiro. So we'll say, so therefore, again, if we kind of bring this all together, it turns out as follows. The potential issue with setting my coffee maker on a timer are as follows. Issue number one is really what? So issue number one, I would have thought, is having my utensils do malacha for me on Shabbos. Is that a problem? No, we've already said. The only problem that could come up is what? Hashmas kol. So, okay, the Taz says Hashmas kol is ilusa de shabsa. But Hashmas kol is only a problem if what, according to Rav Moshe? If it could be heard in a different room. So, assuming that the coffee maker is somewhat silent, halacha lemaisa says no problem, Hashmas kol. What about Bishol? Oh, so this is the real issue. So as I said, the fundamental shaila is, does a non-adjustable heat source require a blech or not? If you hold that a non-adjustable heat source requires a blech, then ultimately, again, you cannot use the coffee maker on Shabbos.
What if you put something over the...
There's still the other heating element inside the water.
Okay.
So I think, right? I think it's a coffee maker's work. There's two heating elements, right? There's something that keeps the pot warm, but there's like a like an immerser type thing that... So you'd have to do something with that other heating element as well. So I think the inability to do that would say you can't do it. But if you hold that a non-adjustable heat source is not subject to the gzerah, to the issue of Shema Yichata, then a coffee maker would not require a blech, and therefore one would be permitted to go ahead and set their coffee maker on a time before Shabbos. And indeed, that is Rabbi Hanuman Paschal. And I will say one thing, I meant to reach out to the Star K before the show, I didn't have a chance to. What I don't fully understand is Rabbi Hanuman does not allow the use of an unadjustable hot plate without the use of a blech. Which is interesting because the two things should really go together. Obviously, he's making some kind of distinction, but he does pass in that mikra din, one is permitted. So bottom line, can you set your coffee maker on a timer Erev Shabbos? And the answer is
maybe.
We see ultimately, again, it is subject to dispute. And again, a fundamental yisov distinct dispute, is a non-adjustable heat source subject to shamichata, the gzir that you may come to adjust the flame, does it require a blech? Rabbi Heinlein clearly says no. And by the way, he's not alone. He quotes over the Hartzvi, the Shevet Halevi, whereas all these other opinions ultimately say yes. Rabbi said, just I'll inject my own two cents into this for just a moment. So this is good to know, because if someone does it, it's really not usher. Rabbi said, at the same time, I would say that there's definitely an element of preserving a certain level of sanctity on Shabbos. You know, you don't need your coffee maker going, just buy the Starbucks Fia packets. They're excellent. They work almost as well. So again, it's what I kind of feel about some of these things. Like, it's not usher. That's clear. But Hanuman says that it's mutter. So if Hanuman says that it's mutter, no, we can say that it's usher. But Lemaisa, one has to ask themselves about the impact of such a thing like this on the general avira of Shabbos. So again, if for some reason one could come up with some type of compelling need, I don't know what there would be a compelling, maybe if there's a chola or someone who needs something. So of course, it's definitely whom to rely upon that Rabbi Mutter. But in the absence of some kind of compelling need, it would appear that the need to preserve the sanctity of the atmosphere of Shabbos would override the need for fresh coffee. All right, we're going to dive in Mariv in the large base measures.